gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's Ice Cream and Ponies Day. 6 minutes after the hour. Yes, here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the Justin Bieber for middle-aged political geeks. Yes.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be?
Yes.
Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Yes. Yes.
Oh. And he got a haircut just like Justin Bieber did.
I know it.
I beg your pardon. I got a haircut. Not just
Hal's
like
here.
Justin Bieber did.
Oh, I was so distracted yesterday. I'm talking here on the radio, and you came on the TV on the CNN, and I was like, ha!
I know. I'm like, I'm not.
Hold on.
Normally when I'm up and talking about things this early in the morning, it's surrounded by people I love and talking about things I actually care about.
Thank God you're here. I have spent the last several days having nonstop sex with the guy that owns the show. Just, you don't know what I do for you, Chris, to keep this jalopy on the air.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, he was in visiting and staying with me.
Oh, he's relentless. He required the same things of me.
It's been a hard week for all of us.
I do know what you go through.
So
we've been rode hard and put up wet.
Wow.
Not really. He just thought his wife would think it's funny, but I don't think she will.
In related news.
She will cut me. You met his wife. I mean, she will. You know what, Chris? She will. Milano Blahnik will, like, right, just be a mark right in the middle of my forehead.
A wife?
Manolo Blahnik.
Okay, you got it right that time.
And a related note, Jim won't be in until much later today.
Jim's taking his turn.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Jim will be in the last half hour.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. We are video streaming on HalSparks.com,
that's right.
However. Because you can see how pretty Hal is.
My new Justin Bieber haircut. Yeah.
And I did my usual goofy smiling into the camera with spinach on my tooth. It's a little wacky bit I do every week without it.
Wow. You're flagging.
All right. We have a big, big show. Representative Barbara Lee, journalist David Schuster, one of the missing Nowhere to Run, Nowhere to Hide Wisconsin
right.
State Senators.
Kathleen Vinehout.
Whom we love, yes.
Kathleen Vinehout.
Yes, but more importantly, let's get to the breaking news, which is about
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, it's always
oh, nice.
Don't you love it when I step in it?
Oh,
publicity.
Yes.
Publicity.
Did you
No,
step
what
in
happens
it?
Is I other people that come on my show frequently get in trouble. And then I get publicity.
Was Aisha on again?
No, it wasn't Aisha
And
this
it wasn't
time.
Contessa Brewer either.
How many
either?
People have we dragged into the muck with us? Quite a few.
Contessa Tamron Hall.
Oh,
what did Tamron do?
We've ended up on many a right-wing website.
Totally.
Yes, from our good friend Eric Bollert. And it's kind of hilarious that what they do at Media Matters is document inaccuracies in the media. And, of course, they just proved the point.
Yes.
They got the story completely wrong. And there's audio. I love Eric helpfully puts the transcript of him on my show for them.
Right.
Oh, here's how we do it at Media Matters. You see, you can see exactly what I said. Here's the audio. You can see what I said and what the context was here, you see?
Uh-huh.
I love it. They try to, like, be these cheap, like, right-wing knockoffs of Media Matters.
The
whole point is to get the facts right, you see, so that you can prove your point.
That's right.
I don't know necessarily that that is the point from their perspective.
His, Eric's headline, Bowler, Breitbart's sloppy attempt to smear me. It's like they're not even trying. The excited attack that's going around is that when I appeared on Stephanie Miller's radio show yesterday, I made fun of the fact that Fox News reporter Mike Tobin, who was covering the union showdown in Madison, Wisconsin, says he was punched by a local activist. Andrew Breitbart's site lied and announced that I thought it was funny to watch Tobin get hit.
He said nothing of the sort.
No, he did not. Actually, what I said on Miller's show, that no one should be hitting any reporters or anything like that, and I tweeted the exact same thing last night, so there's no confusion about that point, only attempts by conservatives to concoct confusion, i.e. the same old, same old. Not since Aisha Tyler threatened to kick Michelle Malkin in the nutsack.
Right, right.
Has there been such a hubbub?
Oh, yeah.
And the right-wing blogosphere.
Incredible.
Failed talk show host Brian Mulroney was all over it, too.
He's that radio equalizer,
yes,
right?
Yes, he equalizes radio.
Yeah, because it's so very equal right now.
Totally. Somebody needs
we're
to
so
counter
exactly
progressive
the same
radio.
Number of stations that
yeah.
the conservatives
Liberal
are.
Talk radio is just this bulldozer that needs to be stopped. You have to lay down in front of it like Arthur Dent in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Stop it at any cost.
Anyway, he says, here's what I did laugh about during the Miller show. It was the fact that Tobin and others at Fox News have expressed total shock that union activists in Wisconsin hold Fox News in contempt. Because that was what they were saying. Right. It was funny. They're going, look at the contempt for the media here. And they're just chanting Fox News lies. It's like, no, yes. Not the media. Fox News.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, by the way, Chris, the other thing, I'm reading the Mediaite story.
Yes.
Which is good, because I fear frequently they cover it, too. The hubbubs on the Stephanie Miller show.
There are many hubbubs.
The little melees.
Yes.
The little kerfuffles.
Mediaite is probably the one site that will most likely cover you. Seriously.
All right. But he does point out one interesting thing. He said he finds it unusual that Fox News or any other network, for that matter, has yet to air footage of the alleged attack and also took Fox contributors to tax for labeling the incident as an assault.
There was secondary footage taken by an actual protester, and it shows no punch, no hit, maybe a little jostling as one can be jostled in a crowd, but no punch or hit.
Yeah.
Right.
So it turns out that Mike Tobin may have been exaggerating
the whole
his claims.
Yeah, in the first place. I don't know. Anyway, Eric writes, I hope I'm not the one to break it to Tobin, but Fox News for the last several weeks has functioned by and large as an anti-union propaganda outlet, period. It has been shoving as much one-sided union-hating rhetoric on the air as possible. And yes, even during its news programming, Fox News has been deceiving viewers by inviting GOP officials on the air under the guise of presenting them as merely concerned with Wisconsin citizens.
Right.
I'm sure it says that right on the chyron.
This is something they got out of the Gaddafi playbook.
Yeah.
Just literally. I am a supporter.
They're Al-Qaeda. These protesters are Al-Qaeda.
Yes.
These are from Wisconsin.
Right.
Wait a minute. He says, and they're invited on the air to do what? To bash the unions.
Right.
Fox News has done everything in its power to portray union members as the cause of civil unrest, and yet its reporter in Wisconsin wonders why union supporters there give him an earful and mock the channel during live shots. Yeah, exactly.
Curious that.
Seems more like free speech to me.
And then yesterday, Chris and I were talking about how the fact that Fox got busted for inputting footage into their
B-roll
into the shot of Florida protesters.
Yeah, there were angry, violent protesters,
right.
But there were palm trees in the background.
Right.
And Fox News was trying to pass that off
as the Wisconsin.
As the Wisconsin
protests. Oh, I got emails about that. They're like, look, all the snow's melting here in Wisconsin. Well, we grow palm trees.
You posted on your Facebook page,
by the way. Of course I did.
Yes.
So you can see it for yourself.
I'm up half the night busily working on my Facebook page.
Absolutely. How you have time for all that.
I don't even know how to get to it. I always say to Chris, how do I get to it?
Yeah.
How do you find it? I don't even know.
This is how she posts to her Facebook page. Put something on my Facebook page about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By phone.
Can I have my hate letter music? Because this is just a hilarious and timely hate letter about this.
Oh.
See, what happens is they don't listen. They see it in the right-wing blogosphere.
Right.
And then they write me a hate letter.
Right.
About what they think I did and said yes.
Okay.
But this is hilarious, and only that it proves Eric Palmer's point exactly. They just don't have the facts on their side.
Right.
You'll love this, Chris.
Okay.
Subject line, very sad.
Very sad.
Which, if you guys know me personally, it is. My life's a little sad, but it's not. How would Lori know?
Yeah.
All right, very sad. Ms. Miller.
Oh, boy.
I just watched a clip with you and some guy bashing Fox News. And if I'm not mistaken, you are a Fox News contributor.
No, that's the other brunette.
I'm not a purveyor, really, of the interwebs, Chris, but wouldn't it be fairly simple for Lori to Google me and find that I don't work for Fox News?
That is true.
One would think. Oh, wait a minute. She's just getting warmed up.
Very sad.
Do you feel like a hypocrite?
No.
I'm embarrassed for you.
What?
The display of utter disrespect for Fox was disgusting. You should have said, I don't care for Fox and their lies. However, I work for them.
But
Lori's not done.
Okay.
Can you let her get her out of
All right. Let Lori get a word in.
She thinks she's making such a good point about my blatant hypocrisy.
Oh.
I'm beginning to see the right's point of view regarding the left's intolerance and dishonesty. I will no longer be listening to your show.
Humph. But she obviously never listened.
And when I see you on Fox, trust me, you wouldn't even see me on Fox.
Right.
And I will know that whatever you say is just drivel. Shame on you. Make fun of Fox, but at least be brave enough to say that you work for them. Lori.
I know who she mistook you for.
Leslie
I don't
Marshall.
Care who she mistook
yeah, that's,
me for.
That's exactly Leslie Marshall. That's funny. That's funny.
Well, you got me there, Lori. Bam!
Uh-oh.
Bam!
She's on to me.
Nothing but net, Lori. Woo! Bang! You can tell there are lots of caps. She's so proud of herself, and she fired that off.
You did it.
She's like,
right.
Yeah.
Or maybe she mistook you for Tammy Bruce. That's happened before.
Oh! How dare you?
What? That's happened before? Right?
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Settle.
Yeah.
Everybody settle.
Yeah, by the way, that's the fun fact that you know. Not only do I not work for Fox, I'm
you've been banned.
One of the only people that has been banned
right.
from every show on Fox. And on top of that, they won't let anybody from their place come here.
Right.
They won't let anyone from Fox on my radio show.
Of course not.
Sean Hannity had to call this show clandestinely.
I'm on the extra dead to me Fox list. Mm-hmm.
But that's because he thought it was a personal number for Steph.
He just yes. Well, he has been known to call me.
Yeah. Right. That's only because you bribed him with a gift.
I did. I got him a picture of Ronald Reagan.
Really?
Yeah.
I did.
And so he called.
I saw it in... It's a long story. I saw it up in Monterey when I was up visiting. And so I actually had to call my friend who was the head of the Democratic Party in Monterey and ask him to go get it. And there was the longest pause ever in a phone conversation.
Right.
And he goes... You want me to buy a picture of Ronald Reagan for Sean Hannity? No. But he did it. All right. So just do it.
And didn't you get him a bear? Or he got you a bear or something?
Yes,
a Vermont
he sent
teddy
me a bear.
Bear.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't remember why.
Because you were going to be on MSNBC.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yes. Cheap bastard. Like he doesn't get that free.
I know.
All right. So we have lots and lots to get to this morning. Let's see. Oh, the big breaking news out here. We're trying to get Attorney General Kamala Harris on. She has asked the court to lift the gay marriage stay. Hal and I will get to the We Told You So gay
portion
folk
of the
portion
show.
Portion of the show.
Yeah. Gay folk?
And you will enjoy your spanking.
Well, she's allowed to say it now.
Yeah, because she's one of the gay folk.
I should be pounded to death with, you know, my own limbs.
But you were queer as folk.
That's true. I am gay adjacent, but that's still no excuse.
All right. 17 minutes after the... Oh, and by the way, we will be the only show that Charlie Sheen will not be calling today, so there's that to look forward
to. Well, you never know.
I've taken a principal stand
Charlie.
On not having him on.
Yeah.
But if he
because
calls...
Because I can't get him on, and so that's why I'm taking
but
principal.
If he calls,
it's time to stop paying attention to him.
But if he calls, he's going right to the front of the line.
And if anybody else
calls... I may be the only show that will still take his call.
And they're on... if anybody calls and they're actually on the drug, Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen. They can also get through, probably.
Just winning. Almost as good as...
Bam, winning.
Yeah.
What?
Bam, winning.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what's the other one?
Charlie Sheen.
Hang on. No, wait, hang on. Uh-oh.
I'm not going to have him on, but what did he say?
Let's do it after the break. We have...
It's a whole language. Oh, we won't like this because we're happy clappy liberals. He said hope is for suckers and tools.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Well, that's the meth talking. again, think of Men in Black, sugar in water. When the big bug is just wearing that other guy's skin, people are interviewing meth right now. They are not interviewing Charlie Sheen.
Oh, boy. Okay. You know, kids. In fact, I think it's disgusting, Hal. And however, I have frozen all of the Charlie Sheen video moments on my computer and then encased it in carbonite so I will have it forever.
See how she did that?
Like a mosquito in amber.
That was impressive.
19 minutes after the hour, right back at Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. We only got
4 minutes. Oh, yeah. 24 minutes after the hour. This is the Hump Days with Hal. Greg in Janesville, Wisconsin writes, wow, watching this guy's like a train wreck, surrounding himself with people yesing him, ignoring families, caught up in his own self-interest. And Charlie Sheen is like him, too. Governor Walker, get it?
Say what's happening there.
Hey.
I thought he was talking about Glenn Beck.
Yeah, that's true. I think Howard Stern made that point. Who's crazier, Charlie Sheen or Glenn Beck?
Yeah.
Glenn Beck gets paid for it. He gets to keep a TV show.
Absolutely. And there's no, you know, at least no illicit drugs involved in Glenn Beck's case. This is completely homegrown.
Yikes, even more frightening.
Right.
Yoinks. Governor Walker, yesterday...
If the 14 Senate Democrats do not come home, their local communities will be forced to manage these reductions in aid without the benefit of the tools provided in the repair bill. On the other hand,
if the Senate Democrats do come home, local units of government overall will actually see a net increase in revenue plus savings of more than $150 million.
Threatening. Yeah. Okay, so we will, Elwin, we'll talk to one of the missing 14.
Yes.
That's right.
And just, actually, hour number three.
That's correct.
Today.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that. They, yesterday how we were talking about how he's just lying. He's saying, he literally has been on record saying, oh, this just narrows collective bargaining. It doesn't really end it.
Right.
Yeah. That's lie.
Not,
total.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's
you're a lying sack of crap.
Yeah.
You're a liar, honey. A dirty, rotten liar.
I call him honey. Not all of you can. No, but
does it bother? I mean, does he know people can read? Does he?
Well,
do you
and it's
know
like it would be set in advance what the outcome of the negotiation is if the way he's.
Right.
So it's like, how is that negotiation?
That's not a negotiation.
Tell you what, we're going to wrestle, but I'm going to handcuff your hands and feet and put
right.
you in a bag.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And then we'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And oh, look, I won.
I'm going to cook your dog, but we'll talk about the sauce. You don't want me to cook your dog.
All right.
I want to cook your dog.
Right, listen,
we'll discuss the flavor.
Breaking Charlie Sheen news. Everybody gets bumps for Charlie Sheen.
What?
Michael in Los Angeles.
Hey,
oh, dear.
Yeah, guys,
Charlie's tweeting.
Today, but I'm really, really busy watching Charlie Sheen's brand new Twitter to see what kind of crazy crap
boy.
He says today.
Oh, boy.
He already did.
Michael, aren't we all enabling at this point? Can't we just stop it?
Are we sure that it's Charlie Sheen?
Yeah. Oh, it's a verified account.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And he already dissed his Two and a Half Men show creator Nancy Grace and a 75 pacer.
And who?
The 75 pacer.
He called.
In
he
one
called
tweet.
In one tweet.
Wow.
In one tweet, he dissed all three of them.
Yes. What now? And why? How did Nancy Grace get dragged into this?
Because she invited him on his show, and he said he'd rather be with his show creator in a 75 pacer driving around or something. I don't know.
Oh, I see. Right. All right. Just stop, Michael. Stop it. Stop enabling him. Don't watch it. Don't look at it. Yeah, I was driving around with the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, this is one of our giant L.A. traffic jams as usual. And then, you know, you drive by and it's, one car just smoking. And he's like, that? Really? Is that what everybody was stopping? Yes!
Yes! Yes!
Everyone stopped! Look at that!
Uh-huh.
We're half an hour late now. So are we going to be able to stop watching Charlie Sheen? Maybe not.
No. We're a nation of rubberneckers.
Well,
exactly.
By the way,
the breaking news, in case you hadn't heard it, the police removed his twin boys
yes.
from his house last night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Based on what? I don't know. The porn stars that are currently
I think we should also say
raising
his
them?
Twin boys who are his children. He doesn't just have twin boys at his house.
Right.
Yeah, at this point, that kind of clarification
legal.
Is necessary.
And why they were not removed earlier?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's the Jamie Dugard, that crazy guy in California story. It's not that.
Mm-hmm.
No. The guy that kidnapped the
yeah. J.C. Duke.
Yes. Somebody.
Anyways.
You know what I'm talking about. I think Hal makes an important distinction at this point with Charlie Sheen.
I just think
it's important details that they are his sons.
Police removed his children from his home.
Yes, he is not holding the Olsen twins hostage.
Yeah,
or
he didn't find two twin boys and he's just keeping them regularly. It's you know. Yeah, all right. Let's just
although we believe that at this point.
Yeah,
no.
That's what I mean.
Anything's possible.
Yeah.
Yes, the porn star goddesses, perhaps.
Yeah.
Not the parenting specialists. Who knew?
Oh, one of them is supposed to be a nanny.
Uh-huh.
I agree. She's supposed to be.
29.
She nurses.
29 minutes after the hour. Well. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Uncertain times, doesn't humanity deserve
Stephanie Miller?
All right, Warren has written on my Facebook page that he can't listen to the show today because he's having a baby.
Yes.
Come on, Warren, you're not doing it. Your wife is. That's not
no
excuse to miss the show. Giving birth.
Whatever.
You know I have no respect for that.
I mean, what could be more calming than Hump Days with Hal?
That's
I mean,
right.
Really, if you
exactly.
could just play that in the background instead of, you know, just like yoga music.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 30.
Or it could just make you scream like you're having a baby.
Exactly.
Yes.
What?
34 minutes after the hour. Push. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEF-1-2. Let's check in with Rob in Madison. Hi, Rob.
Hi. I've got a friend who's on the inside at the Capitol, mm-hmm. and is saying that the that they're using private security now for there called DCI.
They're all really?
Yeah, they're all in jeans and windbreakers. And let's see, around about an hour ago, they had the changing of the guards, he was calling it.
What?
That they had a shift. Yeah, there were guys. He spent the night there last night. He got in by saying that he had a meeting with his representative,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they weren't letting anybody in yesterday, even though there was a court order. So I'm just kind of letting you know, he doesn't listen to the radio at all, so he doesn't have any way to update anybody.
Governor Wenker doesn't? I would think I'm the number one show in Madison, you know. I would think that Governor Wenker listens. Mm-hmm. No?
No, my friend Jamie is what I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
And he forgot his chargers, too, so he's pretty much screwed.
Uh-oh. Oh, man. Uh-huh. All right, honey. Thank you. Yeah, he unveiled his awful new budget last night.
Yep.
yeah. I was asking whether they... Mm-hmm. Are they governing badly on purpose? Does it just come naturally?
On purpose. Look,
yes.
Here's the thing. You wouldn't hire a babysitter who hates children. You don't elect people who hate government.
Yes.
Because they don't want it to exist. They think the whole point of their job is to neuter it while they're acting as a temp employee for a few years and then go to a corporate job to the people who handed them that. I mean, there's no way Walker's not going to work for the Koch brothers or one variation of their industries after he leaves office.
Yep.
It's just going to happen.
Yep. All right. By the by, the House passed emergency short-term legislation to cut federal spending by $4 billion and avert a government shutdown. This is the problem, Hal, that elections mm-hmm. do have consequences, because you heard, I mean, there's two major stories that came out, and yet Republicans, they don't just full steam ahead.
Right.
With their bad policies. They mm-hmm. don't care about facts, figures, numbers. The first we reported yesterday, Goldman Sachs economist has warned. Yeah, you know the noted socialist liberals
at
Goldman Sachs.
Yeah, absolutely. The people who are really behind the president.
He warned the $60 billion package of spending cuts proposed by Republicans it could slow economic growth. A shutdown would cost $8 billion a week. That obviously still, you know, could be looming in the future. A GOP plan could slow economic growth by up to 2%. Goldman's analysis contradicts the GOP's cut and grow fantasy, said Chuck Schumer. This nonpartisan study proves that House Republicans' proposal is a recipe for a double dip recession.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, another noted socialist, John McCain's economist, who now they're calling some sort of crazy liberal, because he's Republican plan to cut $61 billion from the federal budget in the next 7 years could cost about 700,000 jobs through 2012, according to where are the jobs? There they are. According to a new report from chief economist Mark Zandi of Moody's, Republicans hitting back at the report, arguing that he was an opponent of the stimulus, which worked and saved and created millions of jobs.
Imagine that.
And cannot be trusted as an objective economist. He has advised both Democrats and Republicans, including, of course, John McCain, their presidential nominee. So he said significant government spending restraint is vital, but given the still halting economic recovery, it would be counterproductive for that restraint to begin until the economy has created enough jobs to bring down the very high unemployment rate. But there's no pause. I mean...
Mm-hmm.
How many jobs is Governor Walker, you know, killed already, right?
Right. Well, here's the thing.
Between killing the, excuse me, the high-speed rail and, you know,
again,
these budget cuts.
At some point, you have to recognize that they want it, the demise of government, because they view it as an enemy. I mean, just yesterday, Governor Brewer in Arizona, or day before yesterday, referred to government as a necessary evil, mainly so she could use the word evil. It's not
right. Yeah, exactly. All right, Mark in Madison is claiming to be the guy involved in the Fox incident.
Oh,
I don't know if this is true. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Stephanie. It's nice to talk to you.
Hi.
Hey, can I be the official scuba instructor of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Wow, we need one.
Please, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Here, one of you is already certified. Hey, yeah, I'm apparently one of those thugs that surrounded and attacked Mike Tobin on Sunday. My wife and I were down there.
That
was right behind him, and I think the reason Fox will not show any of the video, although they have a lot of it, is because of my sign that I was holding up behind him. It read, Fox News, cons the stupid to fight for the rich. And I think the only thing that might have hit Mike was the foam core sign in my hand when someone jostled me in the crowd to tell you the truth.
Wait, what was in your hand?
A foam core sign that read Fox News.
Oh, just the sign. Oh, the sign itself.
So if they show the hit, they have to show the sign.
Yeah,
exactly. And they did a marvelous job of cropping it out.
Wow.
So you, I mean, that's what you're thinking. There was some contact, but it was probably inadvertent.
But it was jostling, like what happened in any crowd.
Right. Mm-hmm. He got himself in the crowd, and he came in unmarked. He had no Fox logos on at all. And his cameraman and him kind of pushed in, and he started shouting how everybody had so much hate coming from them. And so we started shouting him down, and then he turned and actually stuck his finger in the face of another guy standing next to me.
Wow.
And
I hate to say this, Mark, but this is what it sounds like. It's like he was trying to create this story like the paparazzi, right? Like they scream insults at celebrities and whatever, and then to get the celebrity on tape saying
something
bad. Photograph
their kids, do everything they can, get right in their face, and then go, this guy pushed me. Crushing
he was also trying to tell us that we were all being coached on how to resist arrest and all this, which is utter...
What?
Wow. Oh, yeah. Listen to his clip.
They're really trying to manufacture something here, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They had nothing else to report, and the crowd was too nice. To be honest, it was less... all week long I've been down there in the busiest of crowds, and it's been more pleasant than a busy Wisconsin football game.
I know. Unfortunately for Fox, there's a lot of other footage of these protests.
Yes.
So, and it sounds to me exactly what you're saying, that he tried to incite this so that they would have something, to try to, fill their storyline that, look at these violent crowds.
Absolutely.
You know?
And when the Tea Party was down there the week before, the only group of police I saw was surrounding the Fox News truck.
Didn't you love how he was saying, look how much they hate the media? It's like, no.
No.
I didn't hear them yelling that at Ed Schultz.
I think it's cute that he calls himself the media.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway,
all right.
Thanks,
Mark.
Me.
All right.
Wow.
All right. Wow. That's more breaking news. I'm going to get on the Right Wing West Sucks again. Okay.
Or do they only listen when Eric Bollert's on?
I know. Rob in Ann Arbor, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rob.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I'd like to be the official fromage of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes! Ooh. We want a fromage.
We love cheese.
You look so excited.
Him. Yes!
I've never seen cheese. Chris that excited.
Go ahead, Rob.
I'm calling to say that the guy who says he can't listen to the show because his wife is having a baby today is BS, because the day my wife gave birth to our daughter, I actually called the show, and I was trying to get my wife to have it piped into the delivery room so that your voice would be the second voice or third voice
yeah,
that she heard.
Because her voice is so soothing.
That's disturbing.
Definitely.
That's you're a real man, Rob. Thank you. Wuss that has to miss the show for birth.
Exactly. I fear I'm going to end up raising a staunch conservative because I am so left wing.
yeah. Family ties all
like
over.
You.
All
exactly.
right. Thank you, honey. All right.
Yeah.
Now that's a real man. Thank you. Giving birth. Like, that's a big deal. A fromage, yay. Praise Jesus.
Yes.
We praise Jesus here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Donna and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Jesus.
Hey, hi, how are you guys?
Yes. Good. Hi.
I just wanted to know if you have seen the Fox News clip. Apparently Madison now has palm trees.
Yes. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah. And just to say that how far they've sunk, and I'm also just really shocked that this whole idea that you can shut down the state government, you can ignore law, it's really crazy. So calling out to everybody in the swing districts here in Wisconsin to really pressure those members, and to also remember that on the 5th of April, we have a Supreme Court election, and we could turn the court in our favor because I think every single one of these things is going to the court. So we
Donna,
really need to get people mobilized for that.
Of the million, media storylines that have been wrong, I mean, you've heard this already. Oh, Obama's going to lose Wisconsin this time. He needs these kind of states. They've all turned red. It's like, I bet your Wisconsin's going to turn bluer.
Super blue.
Than a Smurf.
We're
going to
turn so
after
deep
all this.
Blue, you cannot imagine it.
I mean,
it's ridiculous. And it's really, really amazing, energizing to see it.
Say it with
the depth of people, the depth of the kind of people you see, the breadth of the people who are out there. And I think people, once they see the real details of this bill, as we start to read it this morning and yesterday afternoon, it's going to just devastate schools, public sector and everything, as you know. And so I think that is just going to energize people even more.
Say it with me. Thank you, Governor Wanker.
Great.
Thank you. All right. Joe in Spokane. Hi, Joe.
Good morning, guys and gal.
Guys and gal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, you know, where people need to protest is outside ABC, Fox, NBC, CNN, because our news is owned by a few groups of people that don't tell you anything. Did you see any of the pictures of 100,000 people in the street over the weekend in Madison?
No, they cover Charlie Sheen instead,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and thanks, Charlie.
Yeah.
In fact, I watched ABC World News first time in a year. I actually made myself watch it.
Yeah.
And I was screaming at the TV because they tell you a little teeny thing and then don't give you any information about what they just told you.
I know. Couldn't Charlie Sheen have had the decency to time his meltdown until after the biggest, you know.
CNN had more reporters on the ground in Libya than they had in Madison.
Yeah.
Right.
That's inexcusable.
How we were saying, someone was talking about the CNN headline was so irritating. It was like, protesters in Madison, you know, some for, some against. What?
Yeah.
No. It's like seven teabaggers.
Yeah. And they were
the largest demonstration since the Vietnam War in favor of workers.
Right.
Yeah.
And get used to that, though. Get used to that. I mean, that's the danger of Citizens United. That's the danger of corporate
we'll
control.
We'll have to leave it there.
Yeah, right.
No, Wolf,
no.
No,
we won't, actually.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back with Right Wing World and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller.
You're a rock star. Get the show on. Get paid.
This music has got to drive Hal crazy.
Love it. I love it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2 phone number.
Slowly, I
don't talk over the whistling.
Inch.
Okay.
Really whistling.
Really?
All right.
I'm sorry. Maybe it's just as an adult, any music that actually has toy pianos in it. I just think.
I think the little Schroeder piano is adorable.
Schroeder played a real piano.
Plink, 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 plink.
Okay. Schroeder played a real piano.
And scratching, too.
Yeah.
It's got scratching in it.
That I'm okay with.
Okay.
Okay. All right. California's Attorney General yesterday joined lawyers for two same-sex couples, two of whom I'm friends with.
Nice.
Name drop.
You had sushi with them.
Perry. Of Perry versus Schwarzenegger.
Uh-huh. Which is, by the way, got to be great in your life to have, especially if you win the case.
Yeah.
In Perry versus Schwarzenegger, I was victorious.
I beat Conan.
Yeah.
Hasta la vista.
And if you do not want, then the hell with you.
Yeah. All right. He joined lawyers for two same-sex couples and the city of San Francisco in asking a federal appeals court to allow gay marriage to resume here in California while the court considers the constitutionality of the state's voter-approved ban. The latest offensive against Prop 8 came when Attorney General Kamala Harris, who's awesome.
Yes.
She was on Larry King with me the night I came out. Thank God Larry didn't get confused. Stephanie, you're running for Attorney General and you're a lesbian.
Right.
Wait a minute. What?
Right. I got my cards mixed up. At least if Pierce Morgan made this mistake, no one would have seen it.
Hal Louise Sparks.
Oh, okay, that was good, though. Because they just had a report that his ratings were the worst on CNN.
Yeah.
And to be the worst on CNN is like...
Listen.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just saying that.
Enough said.
That's
He's
funny.
No Parker Spitzer, but now, come on, kids.
What's it called now? In the ring?
In the arena.
In the arena.
In the something.
Yeah.
They're calling Parker Spitzer
Listen,
in the arena?
Because Parker's gone.
I
won't care until
Stephanie Miller
is in the arena. They Spitzered Parker.
They Spitzered Parker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In the arena.
Could I get this story,
I'm sorry.
Please? Oh, it's like pushing a rock up a hill some days. All right. She said Kamala Harris told the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals here in a letter that sponsors of Prop 8 were unlikely to prevail in their appeal of a trial judge's ruling last year that struck down the measure. Keeping Prop 8 in effect, therefore, is a fruitless violation of gay Californian civil rights, she said. The public interest weighs heavily against the government sanctioning such discrimination by permitting it to continue. She also said the case for allowing gay marriage was bolstered by the Obama administration's announcement last week that it will no longer defend the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. While not directly relevant to Prop 8, the administration's new position substantially diminished the likelihood the measure's sponsors will be successful in their effort to get the lower court ruling overturned. Events have demonstrated that the stay was ever justified. It is no longer. Woo-hoo! Guess who's mad? Oh, Jim's not here yet, so you'll have to do it. Tony Perkins.
No.
No, mother, blood.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Not that guy.
They'll
see
and they'll know. They'll know.
President of the family.
Right.
He suggested the government was colluding with the lawyers in the Prop 8 case.
Colluding?
He asked the government to provide records of any contact between the Justice Department, might have added the attorneys. Oh, by the way, they can kind of easily disprove that. The couple's lawyer said the timing was coincidental, noting they scheduled a news briefing on their Ninth Circuit petition the night before Holder's surprise announcement. So, nice try.
I had a conversation about this, the president not defending specifically Section 3 of DOMA on my radio show on Saturday, mm-hmm. and I had a right-wing caller call in, and the big talking point they were all pushing is that whole Obama, you know, has to enforce the law. This is the rule, and that no other, this is the first time.
Ever in the history.
Yeah,
of,
even
yes.
though. 13 times in the last
yes.
20 years, including Bush 1, Bush 2, and Reagan,
yeah. mm-hmm.
refused mm-hmm. to defend sections of bills they believed to be unconstitutional. And the other thing was, when that went into effect, when DOMA went into effect, there were no states pushing gay rights and the ability for gays to be married. So the law has changed on a state level and a federal law overseeing this. You would think that the right wing, the libertarian, especially that wing, would be all about states' rights, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Don't they believe that states should have the right? The federal government can't come in and tell you how to live socially. And if you're, I guess it doesn't apply when your state wants to allow gay people to get married. But okay.
All right. Here's the part where we pick a fight with gay folk.
Yes.
The headline is DOMA helps Obama with gays. Let's just get it out of our system. We told. You so.
Yeah.
We told you to just be patient.
Yeah.
He was getting there.
Work with it. Otherwise, they just use you as ammo, saying his poll numbers are down, and then it's harder for him to get anything through. Instead of going, nope, oh, God. It's
I'm
so
sorry.
Frustrating.
I saw the story last night. I'm like, that's the hell I've been saying.
I know, forever, and you guys wouldn't listen.
This is the story. President Obama's decision to stop fighting lawsuits challenging DOMA has dramatically warmed his relationship with gay and lesbian activists.
What?
Folks in our affiliates around the country were grumbling about the pace of Don't Ask, Don't Tell and other things, but since the announcements, it's really changed, said the head of the National Stonewall Democrats. I think it will be a game changer both with our organizers and also with the LGBT community at large. The mood's gotten a lot better. As we were saying, I guess the bit is over.
The tantrum?
It's a little bit of a tantrum. Some gay Democratic donors organized boycotts. Others picketed fundraisers Obama headlined, even heckled him at public events.
Right. Pickled? Some of them are complaining
about the
pace.
They helped organize a donation boycott of Democrats in 2009. And as you were singing earlier.
And then didn't,
thanks for the midterms.
For handing it to the right wing and letting blue states
I
go
guess
red.
That wasn't the right thing.
Yeah. Amazing. And the other thing is they're still complaining about the pace of Don't Ask, Don't Tell after it's already been done.
Yeah.
Stop that.
Stop it.
It got done. You know how many years it sat completely still with no one doing anything about it before Obama came in?
The gay community a timeout, and they would not listen.
Well, then you're not an effective parent now, are you?
No.
If you just let the gay community run roughshod over you.
That's why I'm not an actual parent. Stop it.
You're
going to
get it.
Okay. Now, all right.
Look, if you're trying to help somebody row upstream and then they put their oars in the water and row the opposite direction, you've got a right to complain. And you're like, come on.
One gay activist said that the DOMA move comes just in time for the White House to tap the gay community for donations and grassroots support before the campaign hits full steam next year. It's almost like the president knows what he's doing politically.
Right.
I still think they wasted precious time on Don't Ask, Don't Tell and DOMA, he said, but from a purely political perspective, the timing looks pretty clever. Yes. That's what politics is.
Well, and on top of that, you've got health care that went through. You've got the stimulus package you had to do. You had the rescue of the economy. And then just flat-out signing statement allowing gay people to visit their partners in the hospital. Yeah. A drastic sea change. Yes.
Got to get to the beauty part. Yes. Hang on. The DOMA's decision also carries another political benefit for Obama. It effectively puts the option of defending the law to Congress and most likely the GOP-led House.
Oops.
Boehner and other Republican leaders have been trying to please both Tea Party members and swing voters by focusing on the economy and not hot-button social issues, but he will face intense pressure now from social conservatives. Not only to fight for the law, but to do it with arguments that gay activists see as homophobic. It's a stroke of brilliance to basically force the Republicans to carry the mantle.
Yeah.
Said one gay activist. In an interview with the Christian Broadcasting Network, Boner predicted the House will fight for DOMA to defend our actions in passing a bill. Frankly, passed overwhelmingly. The speaker also seemed exasperated that Obama tossed a hot potato into Congress's lap, though. A movie
Get said, used to it, dude. That's your next 2 years.
Yep.
Oh, Boner, you got pants.
Taste
you got pants
of your own medicine.
And a swirly. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is. It's Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Voice deity Jim Ward joins us now. We will have a gymprovisation coming up.
What?
It's not improv. It's gymprov.
Well, actually, it's been written for me. So
it's a gymitation
exactly,
from a listener. All right. Oh, and speaking of listeners, next Friday, Sigourney Weaver will be on. How cool is that? And no,
wow.
I'm not going to ask
Super
her to
cool.
say, get away from her, you bitch.
Sorry.
Thank God Hal won't
she
be here.
She comes out at night mostly. Mostly.
She's in a fabulous movie called Prayers for Bobby, about based on a true story of a gay kid that committed suicide. Mm-hmm. She is fabulous in it. Seriously, I haven't cried that much since she died in Avatar. It was, all right.
Oh, great. Give it away.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Haven't you seen it?
It's totally different in 3D. You can't really ruin the experience.
She dies at the end of Avatar.
Yeah, somebody dies in 2D. It's so boring now.
Not in the director's cut. She
survives. The director's cut. She survives in 3D.
All right. We have David Schuster coming up next hour, and one of the missing Democratic Wisconsin state senators next hour. So lots coming up. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
They're in Schaumburg. They're at the Days Inn in Schaumburg.
All right. And as Hal Sparks pointed out, look at that. Huckabee claims Obama grew up in Kenya. And what, the polls today?
Huckabee leading in the South.
Yeah.
What do you know? Go figure.
All right.
All you have to do is say something totally xenophobic and racist about the president and try to panic the whites. And what do you know? It's like a herd of rednecks all jump on your bandwagon there.
All right. Okay.
Hee-haw candidate.
You don't have to do that. I have it.
Oh, thank you.
That's good.
You know what?
We have an important guest.
Oh,
just you hush now. And
I just wondered if Huckabee makes a mistake, a board from the fence behind him hits him in the butt. I didn't want to know.
Listen. One of our very personal favorites, Representative Barbara Lee, joins us. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Hi, good morning. Glad to be with you.
So nice to have you, as usual. Well, you got a lot going on in Washington. Let's talk about this awful Republican budget, first of all. They ran on where are the jobs. Well, now we know where the about a million of them almost are going to go away with this budget, right?
Absolutely. And even their economists are saying that minimally 700,000.
Right.
And we know it's even more. And so I think the public needs to recognize that what they voted for, they did not get, and understand that we haven't had one initiative, one bill to create jobs since they took over, and that is outrageous.
Well, I mean, not only not created, Representative, but as you say, this is quantitatively, it looks to me been proven this is going to lose jobs, not to mention the fact, it's interesting. I just saw an ad by our friend Reverend Jim Wallace about what would Jesus cut? A budget is a moral document. I mean, the cuts in here really are, I think, unconscionable.
They are, and when you look at cutting Head Start, when you look at cutting Pell Grants for young people, when you look at cutting all of the programs and initiatives that would create jobs, invest in our schools, and provide pathways out of poverty, they want to get rid of all this. And I agree, the budgets are moral documents. They reflect who we are as a people. They reflect our values. And I think when you look at and compare what they're talking about, the cutting out of domestic discretionary spending as relates to defense, there's no justification for any of that from a moral and ethical point of view.
Yeah, well, particularly so that the top 1% can keep their tax cut. I mean, it really, you know, it just makes me shake my head when I, you know, like I say, they don't, and the facts and figures don't seem to slow them down at all. You know, the Goldman Sachs report about what this is going to do to growth, whether it's a report about how many jobs it's going to lose.
No, I don't think they care. And, you know, one of the reasons I opposed the package in December was because of the huge tax cuts for the very wealthy, which, again, digs us deeper into the hole in terms of our deficit. And, you know, I've been working for a long time now on trying to extend unemployment for 14 weeks for what is, you know, we call 99ers who
yep.
hit the wall on their unemployment benefits. We can't get the Republicans to vote for that. Just a bare 14 month extension for people who have nothing, who are sort of just surviving day to day. And so I think their priorities and their values are misplaced and don't reflect the majority of the public in terms of where they want us to go in terms of what they wanted for the election.
And particularly when, you know, their policies are going to lose so many jobs. And as John Boehner says, so be it, I guess. You know,
well, that's what he says. You know, they don't care. They're looking out for the privileged and the wealthy. And it really is a shame and disgrace that they're cutting programs and cutting jobs that would allow for the American dream to be realized by everyone. So I'm very, disgusted, first of all, in terms of what they're doing based on the message that we thought they got in November to create jobs.
Yep. Representative, let me read you something else here. The American public is catching up with Barbara Lee's timetable in Afghanistan. A January poll shows 72% of American voters prefer to speed up the withdrawal of troops from the 2014 date. You have always been out ahead as, you know, part of the Out of Iraq caucus. And, in fact, you were part of the, hey, let's not maybe even get into Iraq or Afghanistan caucus.
You know,
the caucus of one at
yes,
one point.
Yes.
Yeah, I voted against the authorization to use force. Actually, I was the only member in 2001 during that very terrible time. And I knew then that it was going to be a blank check to wage war, use force anywhere, at any time, against any nation, organization, or individual. And that's what that resolution said. Now we've been in Afghanistan since 2001, the longest war in American history. And we've lost so many lives. So many of our young people's lives have been shattered. And our military...
Well, and as they keep screaming about the deficit, let's look at that alone. I'm reading another part of this article. It says the goal of Democrats like Representative Barbara Lee is to change the president's political calculus and encourage his running on a platform of ending two wars instead of the specter of trillion-dollar quagmires. I mean,
over $1 trillion. And, you know, when we look at the deficit, you can't sidestep the fact that these two wars that did not have to be fought, should not have been fought, are creating that huge deficit. I'm very proud of the Democratic Party because I'm a member of the DNC, Democratic National Committee, and the party over the weekend voted unanimously to support my resolution, which says the Democratic Party supports prioritizing job creation and a swift withdrawal of the United States Armed Forces and military contractors in Afghanistan, which must include a significant and sizable reduction no later than July 2011. So our party is on record supporting this, and I'm going to continue to work with the Lee Amendment here to say no more funding for combat operation. The only money we're going to authorize and appropriate should be for protecting our troops and contractors and bringing them home.
Yep.
Enough is enough.
I have one more resolution for you. How about the, hey, Halliburton, can we have our money back proposal? How about that?
Yeah, I think we should definitely go there and other Enron and other places.
Yeah, exactly. Representative Barbara Lee, thanks for fighting that good fight all the time and taking time for us as always.
Good talking with you, Stephanie.
You too.
Thank you.
You too. There she goes. Representative Barbara Lee. Love her. Oh, all right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there like Jeff in Salem did. Steph, he has a gym prop for you. Well, it's a gymitation. It's not so much an gymprovisation. It's a commercial? Okay. Let's see. Here we go.
Brothers and sisters, from the makers of Afro Sheen, ladies are making you look good. Feel the glow of living slip away by leading an ordinary day-to-day Monday life. Waking up feeling less and less glamorous? Try a new Charlie Sheen. Why, just one or two applications will seriously give your life a wondrous glow of sanity and inner beauty. And if you order now, you get a case of Schadenfreude absolutely free. Try a new Charlie Sheen. What do you have to lose except your inexplicably popular TV show?
Charlie Sheen. Okay. Thank you, Jeff and Salem. That was a little...
I take no responsibility.
All right.
But that was actually kind of... inadvertently based on a skit they actually did on Saturday Night
Live
with Martin Sheen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Martin Sheen was spitting water on Jane Curtin's hair or something. For,
right.
For
and it was Martin Sheen.
Yeah,
I get it.
You did get Martin Sheen. Right. P.S. Crooks and Liars is just reporting anti-gay pastor Grant Storms.
Y'all, we did this yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Is that his porn name or is...
Yeah, or is it... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Arrested for masturbating at a playground.
While watching children.
While watching children.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I sit and watch the children.
Well, how many times? Okay, you know what I think it is? I think it's the anti-gay pastor lifestyle.
Exactly. Apparently.
I think that you've just got to recognize that it's a sinful lifestyle, being an anti-gay pastor. And, you know, it's just, you know, they get sucked into that life, and they all start, you know, the meth, the prostitutes, the masturbating near playgrounds. It's just part of it. You know what I mean? They can't shake it. And it's a choice. I'm
it's
just saying,
choice.
Being an anti-gay pastor is a choice.
Oh,
and
boy.
They
All
need
right.
to get help. So I'm starting an organization that takes the anti-gay pastor out of people.
Okay.
It's a Bible-based system.
By the way, let me just finish up the Hal and I were right and everybody else is wrong.
Yes.
Story. About DOMA move helps Obama with the gays.
Go figure.
One activist said, meanwhile, the move could pay off for the president in votes and grassroots activism more valuable than donations because sitting presidents generally don't have a lot of trouble raising money. His decision on DOMA angered social conservatives, but analysts say they won't vote for him anyway. So
really?
This is just a very smart move politically. Mm-hmm. Obama's decision, coupled with the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, could also energize liberals and young voters. Chad Griffin, my buddy, my pal, who he was behind the Prop 8 thing.
Right.
He said this will be incredibly motivating, not just for gay voters, but for young voters. This has become a priority issue.
Absolutely.
Very smart. It's almost like the president knows what he's doing in politics.
He also knows that, unfortunately, with our, you know, our 15 minutes of fame and our 22-day news cycle, a lot of great stuff that happens gets forgotten in a very short order and doesn't motivate voters when it should. So it's a lot of times you have to hold back on things you want to do. Otherwise, they'll just forget about it and not show up.
Yeah. All right. By the way, it's interesting the case that they say changed Obama's mind on DOMA. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that when we get back. 18 minutes after the hour, that and so much more.
Oh, my gosh.
We got Right Wing World, we got David Schuster. Don't go away. It's Hump Days with Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, this is so amazing. It's all anybody in my class is talking about.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Tina in Madison, where the palm trees are lovely this time of year.
Oh, yes.
Hello, Tina. Did you see that Fox News footage of the angry, violent protesters in Madison?
With no snow and palm trees?
Yeah, with pumps. Yeah, look, angry, violent people protesting somewhere that's not Madison, but you get the idea.
Only wearing University of Gainesville Gators shirts. What's that about?
Hi, Tina.
They're all the same.
Hi there.
Go ahead.
It was a great protest yesterday, and while we were standing there, one of the speakers says, they have this great news, and then he yelled up to all of the police officers surrounding the Capitol, you know, the ones that weren't letting people in, after the court order said that they were supposed to. Anyway, and he said, so are there any Dane County sheriffs up there? And all the police officers yelled back down, no, there's not. Well, that's because we have to do a great big kudos to Sheriff Dave Mahoney. He said that he would not let his sheriffs up there keeping people out of the Capitol.
Good for him. Yep. Solidarity, sister. All right. By the way, Hal, you're quite the humanitarian, as we all know.
Mm-hmm.
I've finally found a way I can help. It involves drinking, wine, and foreign aid. Jessica writes, Mama, I received this from former college roommate. We have friends in Christchurch, New Zealand. When they were finally able to talk to them via Skype, the question was, how can we help? Their answer, tell everyone you know to buy New Zealand wine. That action can send more money faster than any government aid. Yeah. The money from wine sales, whether through profit or tariff, will help rebuild our economy. Be a good global neighbor. I will, Jessica. Up at the liquor store and after this and buy copious quantities of New Zealand wine. Why, if I'd known there was drinking involved, humanitarianism.
Slightly koala-y.
And they're also saying the best way you can help New Zealand is to go and travel to New Zealand, because the earthquake only affected one tiny little part, you know, the Christchurch area. The rest of New Zealand is absolutely beautiful.
Well, I'm an elderly shut-in, so I will sit at home drinking New Zealand box wine, but you can go to New Zealand.
And it's summer down there right now.
Oh, you can't afford to go to New Zealand on what I pay you. Never mind.
You're right.
I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking.
That's
all right.
Christchurch is the South Island, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can I have some love story? This is the case that changed Obama's mind on the Defense of Marriage Act. One widow story was one of two cases pending in federal court cited in the announcement of President Obama's decision. Edith Windsor and Thea Spire, am I saying that right? Were together more than 40 years when Spire died in 2009. Not long after her partner's death, Windsor received a $363,000 federal tax bill. A liability. Isn't that nice? That she would not have faced had the federal government recognized their union. They married in Canada in 2007 in their 70s after they found out that Spire's multiple sclerosis was getting worse. Windsor is suing for the tax money back from the federal government, and Obama administration has effectively decided she's right by dropping its defense. Yay. The Justice Department will also drop its defense in a similar case in a Connecticut federal court with seven plaintiffs. Each plaintiff in the Connecticut case is surviving same-sex partner who is being denied benefits because the federal government doesn't recognize their marriage. So, that's Americans' basic sense of fairness.
Right.
That, you know, it doesn't have to do with, race, sexual orientation, whatever, I don't think.
Right. Well, and I think ultimately...
And also it makes me sad because I'm a single elderly loser. And I'm going to stick to my original plan of dying alone, being eaten by my dogs. No one will notice for several weeks. You'll fill in. Someone will say at some point, hey, whatever happened to the girl? And then you'll go to my house.
No, we'll just hear stories of giant dogs roaming through the Los Angeles
with
hills.
With thigh bones.
Right, yeah. Just,
oh, gross.
Like the Rorschach story in Watchmen. And you're like, whatever happened to Steph? I don't know. The dogs don't look any bigger, though.
Can I make one comment, though? That story was on my Yahoo News site.
Mm-hmm.
I find, Christy, commenters on those, you know, there's comments after the stories. They're not the brightest. The Yahoo, the first one was a couple
of... A bunch of Yahoos, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. People still go to Yahoo News?
Yeah, I do, I guess.
All right.
The first comment was, couple old Lizzies, who cares?
Hmm.
Like,
right.
First of all, it's Leslie's, you moron.
Right.
Moran.
Moran.
Get a brain, Moran.
Get a bream, Moran.
Chris and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie.
Hey.
Et al. I was wondering if I could be your official court reporter for the day.
Thank you.
All right, awesome. I was at the hearing and, in fact, testified at the hearing yesterday. The ACLU, I believe, filed a request for an injunction to compel the state to give citizens of the Capitol access. And that temporary order was granted yesterday, so this was the hearing to make it a permanent, restraining order. And the order states that they must open the Capitol to the public.
Oh, good.
And the Department of Administration says, hey, they are. The Capitol is open to the public. Pay no attention to the shoulder-to-shoulder police. So some of their main arguments were really amazing. That they need to control the number of people for safety. I was able to get in there Monday afternoon, the first day they were doing this, and I traversed many halls, and the number of citizens I ran into was zero.
Right. I love the, we have to clean the Capitol.
Oh,
hey,
yes.
Listen,
and
democracy is messy, for God's sakes.
That's Well, one of the arguments is, did you see people clapping? Did you see drums? Did you see people shouting and yelling? And the point was, don't you think it's hard to get work done with all that noise? And, I'm sorry I interrupted your unmitigated power grab.
Right.
Excuse me with my messy little democracy and First Amendment.
Yeah, exactly.
Quentin in Madison real quick. Hey, Quentin. Hello, Quentin.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness, it is getting crazy out here. I work in a school district in Wisconsin, great. And what ends up happening, we have only 40 teachers in our school district. And thanks to the proposed budget cuts to schools, they try to fool you with the math. It's really scary. It's like all of a sudden, out of 40 teachers, 22 get layoff notices.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
22.
No, I mean, his budget is just awful. It cuts, $1.5 billion in aid to public schools and government, but avoids any tax or fee increases for, I mean, it's just, it's like... Wrong, you McRongerson. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, David Schuster joins us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
So I am making my graceful transition into spinsterhood.
Not so graceful. 34 minutes after the hour. Lisa
transition?
Lisa. Shut up, Jim. At least I have David Schuster to spoon with. Good morning, David Schuster.
Good morning, Stephanie. Always a pleasure. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, David.
So you've been tweeting about this hilarious Fox News story, which... I got dragged into the right-wing blogosphere over as well. The Mike Tobin, whatever his name is.
Yeah,
we just had somebody, the call from Madison that was there that said, it is curious, isn't it, that they don't have any footage of this alleged assault.
Well, that was the thing, is I thought, okay, well, if you really got slugged, I'm sure Fox is going to be the first to run the video. Not only is there no video, but the video that does exist, and somebody with a cell phone camera was able to get it last night, shows that not only was he not slugged, he was basically barely grazed. Somebody sort of was touching him, and he says, oh, I've been hit.
Yeah.
And then he sort of went down that path, and then the anchor said that that's assault, and he never really sort of corrected him. And then Mike said, oh, well, I'm taking the high road because I'm not pressing, for an arrest. Well, that's because you couldn't press for an arrest for something that innocent.
Right.
And it's just, I was just going crazy last night, Steph, and I have to say, because in 36 hours, not only did he have Mike Tobin and all the Fox anchors lying about his incident, then you had Mike Tobin, because he was claiming to have been assaulted, or the Fox News anchors thought he had been assaulted, there he was on Bill O'Reilly, and Bill O'Reilly's show, to try to underscore how dangerous the situation is for people there in Wisconsin, shows video that is not from Wisconsin, that has like palm trees in the background from another rally.
Yep.
They never identified as not from Wisconsin. Then in the midst of that, there's Mike Huckabee giving a radio interview, and he's a paid Fox News contributor, saying that Barack Obama grew up in Kenya. Well, that's not true.
Yes.
And then you have Newt Gingrich, who's telling friends, oh, yes, he's forming an exploratory committee to run for president, and Fox News is asked by the New York Times, hey, what about that? Now that he's telling friends he's running for president, are you going to drop him as a paid contributor and show some basic journalistic integrity? No response. I mean, it's crazy.
Right.
I think you almost exploded the Twitter sphere last night.
I'm beginning to think. I mean, when I was at Fox News, and I had my sort of issues there, and I just thought, okay, well, it's an organization that was indifferent to journalistic integrity, and that was one of the reasons why I left. Now I think it's just gotten so much worse. Not only is it indifferent, but they are deliberately violating journalistic integrity. And I think we were all concerned now about the future of this country and whether it's crushing deficit or terrorists in our midst. I'm beginning to think that Fox News is actually more dangerous than all these other threats, because Fox News pollutes the political environment, misleads people, and if you can't have an honest debate among ordinary citizens of this country, if you can't agree on basic baseline facts, you can't begin to solve the problems.
Yep.
And I just think, it's so pernicious what Fox is up to these days.
Well, it's hard for them, isn't it, when there's a story like this? You've seen the polls. I mean, the American people largely on the side of the workers. These protests, unbelievable,
so
solidarity.
So Fox,
largest protest since the Vietnam War in support of the, labor. I mean, it really is incredible that, they don't know how to cover this. So, I mean, the person that called in, David, that was in the crowd, said that Tobin was really actively trying to incite this. It's like Hal and I were saying, it's like those paparazzi stories where they,
they just push you,
yell
and
at a celebrity and shove you.
He screamed at me. I've got footage of him screaming. Of course.
Well, two points, and I'll tell you my Mike Tobin story in just a second, but I think the other problem with what Fox News is doing, and again, by their refusal to acknowledge, there has not been a single arrest. There's been no broken windows. There's been no injuries. By refusing to acknowledge this has been a completely peaceful protest. And then by trying to cover Madison as if it's, you know, the chaos in Tripoli or the chaos in Egypt, it actually diminishes and insults those reporters who actually did put their physical safety on the line by going to Egypt and actually being in front of a sort of an angry mob, and it diminishes their work. And so on so many levels, it's just what Fox is doing is just completely insulting.
Yeah, well, listen, we're in a universe where, as you know, right-wing bloggers said that Lara Logan had it coming. I don't know what sort of level of decency we've gotten to in terms of all this, but...
Well, let me tell you my Mike Tobin story. Mike, you know, is at Fox News. I was at MSNBC. We were both in Doha, Qatar, at U.S. Central Command, covering the start of the Iraq War back in 2003. And Mike is kind of an odd guy, as people probably figured out now by sort of how he's handled this whole situation. And he said a couple things to, you know, one of my female producers that just, you know, made her sort of uncomfortable. And, you know, nothing super serious, but we just said, okay, you know, when you're stuck in a story for weeks on end, you like to sort of pull jokes. So one of the best pranks that I've ever pulled in the news business. So Mike, you know, Mike's camp position was near ours at the briefing room. And at some ungodly hour, 3 in the morning, I said to my producer, my crew, okay, Mike, I believe, has got to come in and do a live report for Fox at the same time we're going to be setting up for ours. So let's set up early, and let's sort of pretend like we've already started and see if we can catch him thinking that something crazy has happened. So sure enough, we're standing in front of our camera. Mike comes in. I shoot him this dirty look and say, hurry, get past us. So he's not sort of blocking our shot. And then I belt out, "That's right, Tom. Because of this massive chemical attack, officials here at U.S. Central Command confirmed that a B-2 bomber loaded with nuclear weapons is headed for Baghdad, a sign of just how serious this war has become." Mike turns absolutely white. He immediately starts yelling, "New York, New York, we got a problem. And then we burst out laughing, and he's like, "You jerk." So the longest 10 seconds of his life was in Doha, Qatar in 2003.
Listen, a prank call to Governor Walker may save, you know, the labor movement in America. So don't underestimate the power of pranks.
Well, the Cuban Missile Crisis was a prank. Right? It's a hoax.
I only wish they had him hooked up to sort of
I have a feeling, David, that, you know, they're listening to Gaddafi say that all the protesters are Al-Qaeda. They're like, wait a minute, we could just use that in Wisconsin.
Well, I'm sort of feeling like badly that maybe, you know, the psychological impact of us pulling this prank on him in 2003 has had lingering effects and is causing his strange reactions.
Post-traumatic
stuff.
Right.
David,
well, P.S., what Tobin is doing with the protesters there is their version of that thing. I mean, it is the Cliff Notes version of what Gaddafi's doing. It's Al-Qaeda. They're union thugs beating up reporters. It's the same kind of thing. It's just, you know, peered down for the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose he's, I mean, look, you know, Mike is, he's just sort of an odd guy, and, you know, there's ample grounds, and I'm not advocating there should be violence in anybody, and I think anybody who does, like, touch a reporter or punches a reporter, it's reprehensible and should be condemned. But, I mean, that situation, you could almost begin to sort of understand why somebody who, given the situation in Madison, given the stuff that Fox is spewing out, you could just about understand why somebody might at least think about wanting to slug a Fox reporter or a Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity. I'm not saying they should, and I think we should all condemn anybody who even thinks that, but it's, you know, what Fox is doing is so outrageous and so poisoning the atmosphere and poisoning the debate that it makes a lot of people very angry.
And they can't even get the story right that's about them.
Right.
You hear me? He's like, look how much they hate the media here, and they're clearly chanting Fox News lies.
Yeah,
and he's wondering why they're chanting Fox News lies when he, you know, lies about the incident. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, exactly. David...
Hello, he lied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The journalist is question of the hour, Charlie Sheen. I mean, you know, obviously a debate has erupted over, you know, journalistic ethics here. Like, when do you shut the camera off, when, you know, but when something drives ratings? And, you know, I think it was a CNN producer was saying, look, are you saying we shouldn't interview Ahmadinejad? We shouldn't that this is a story. What's your take on it?
Unfortunately, I'm sort of convinced that our society is so celebrity obsessed that if you're famous, even you're famous for being a jerk or famous for being an idiot or famous for lying, as, you know, Fox News is, that there's a certain intrigue and there's a certain sort of obsession. And just because you're famous, you get a certain stature now in our sort of culture and society. And I think that's, you know, the troubling thing is I think everybody's right. Yeah, Charlie Sheen is great for the ratings, and watching his sort of train wreck and his battle with CBS and seeing him joke about what what, he took a vacation with a porn star and his ex-wife, and he's talking about the wonderful things about drugs, and, I mean, all this sort of stuff that, you know, most people, I think, could say that's insane. That's irrational behavior. It's not helpful to our society to have anybody, like, holding this stuff up as a good thing. But because he's famous, people want to watch and sort of be entertained, and I think, you know, I think that's what's going on.
Well, because it really is at that point, right, where you go, yeah, fascinating as this is really sad, you know, that you got to shut the cameras off and hope that someone helps him, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, wouldn't you think that, okay, if you're going to do a Charlie Sheen segment, do a segment about, you know, the sort of the public implosion and the sort of mental breakdown of this guy, because we all know people. I mean, I get calls every day from a friend of mine from high school who's a paranoid schizophrenic who's dealing with this in a very sort of, you know, it's a disease. And so all of us are having serious conversations about what can we do to help this woman, you know, what can we try to do to coax her to take her medication? Well, instead of just sort of exploiting, you know, Charlie Sheen's sort of meltdown and saying, ha-ha, look at this, isn't this crazy, I wish that somebody, if they're going to do the segment, would say, look, we all know people who have meltdowns. Here's what we can all do to help.
Right.
Well, yeah. Yeah. No, well, exactly.
Well, the only reason to actually deal with any kind of celebrity relationship issue, be it Tiger Woods or any of those things, is a moral barometer for yourself, going, this is a level I will not go below, or this is a level I would hope to rise to. That's really, as a role model, that's the only benefit that they have, positive or negative.
Yeah, or maybe to the extent that people say, okay, if somebody who's, you know, rich and famous and handsome and, you know, successful in his craft can, you know, have such problems, that it makes it sort of, you know, more real that, you know, the rest of us don't feel so alone when we have problems, mm-hmm. or when our friends go through sort of problems. It's like, okay, well, you know, everybody goes through it.
That's but the nice spin on when, you know, people want to see that because they want to feel better about themselves because somebody
else. You wonder if that's part of it as you go, okay, he has a lot more money than me, but good God, at least I feel together watching Charlie Sheen.
Yeah,
or
maybe in some way, maybe I suppose it's a break from, you know, given, you know, the serious issues of our time and what's going on in the Middle East and the difficulties with the economy and an environment where you do have a self-proclaimed news organization that spews lies day in and day out and doesn't usually get called on it by the rest of the media. I mean, maybe this is some, you know, escape that some people have to be able to say, okay, enough of the serious stuff. I want to take a break. I just want to be entertained for 10 minutes and hear the latest about Charlie Sheen's, you know, travails.
Well, except Hal made the point. He said, you know, you're not really interviewing Charlie Sheen. Probably at this point you're interviewing crystal meth.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's...
'Cause anybody who's, if you're dealing with a friend in this situation, you recognize that there's a similarity in behavior and in languaging and all this stuff that happens when people have a certain mental disease or have certain drug in their system, and that's one of the markers. And so to say, like, he's saying these outlandish things, he's acting manic, he's saying that's what anybody on the same drug cocktail he is taking would be like.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, and it's almost to the point where, I mean, you know, everybody, a lot of people remember the movie Network, where the, you know, television anchorman is sort of having a meltdown and, you know, threatens to commit suicide, and then it becomes this great show. I sort of wonder, is, you know, is sort of that the sort of voyeuristic thing that we're doing now, is that we're all waiting for Charlie Sheen to take his own life or do something really crazy so we can all be somehow, you know, entertained by that.
Or that there's some sort of closure to it. You know, the point I was making on CNN yesterday.
Yeah, you do. You almost feel guilty or dirty watching it. You're like, oh, boy,
yeah.
Are we all enabling this by,
but
you know.
On CNN, they kept asking me, how's this going to end? And I went, I don't necessarily think it will. I think this is a consistency, you know, an element in his life right now. There will be episodes that will be, you know, that will spike. But there's no reason why, just because we want closure on it, that it's going to happen.
Right. And, you know, maybe the way it ends is, you know, I've railed a lot on Fox News. Maybe it ends when CNN goes back to covering, you know, Gaddafi and his crazy ethics, which have, you know, real implications for
in human lives. Right.
Human
totally.
Lives, as opposed to just, you know, spending time on Charlie Sheen.
That's well said, except I maybe just be bitter because I'm the only radio show he hasn't called.
and, that's a badge of honor, my friend.
And I do have ethics now, but I would have bumped you in 2 seconds, David, if he had called. I love you, David. I love you, David Schuster. Thanks for coming
love
on, as always,
Stephanie.
Honey.
You guys have a great day.
All right, you
thank
too.
You.
There he goes. Love that man. All right. 46. Oh, it's a liberal gal's dream. Just to do it. It's like a threesome, Jim Ward and Hal Sparks, Dave Schuster. 47 minutes after the hour.
Huh?
You don't even have a microphone.
Oh, man.
47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
No need to worry, no need to
Stephanie Miller.
Okay, can I just say, on Wednesdays, maybe just Wednesdays, I go from gay to questioning. Sparks just took his shirt off during the break.
I didn't take my shirt off.
And it made
off.
Me all gooey.
I lifted the back of it because I had cupping done.
I like your underpants. They're black.
Oh.
Okay. 52
That's
minutes
true.
After the hour. Yes, he was showing the chat room that he had cupping done, but I got a little flustered. Not since I looked into Bobby Kennedy's blue eyes one day in my radio studio have I been so flustered. All right.
You're a whore.
I think I'm just a whore that has...
Slut! She's a slut! Look at her, slut!
Regardless of sexuality. All right. Oh, Shano has graced us with a Charlie Sheen montage, because who can get enough of Charlie Sheen?
Sure.
Yes.
Alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of
Charlie Sheen's problems.
Winning. Pick the fight with a warlock. Tiger blood, you know, Adonis DNA. I'm tired of pretending like I'm not bitching a total freaking rock star from Mars. She's so
fine. Okay, last time. This is drugs. She's so fine. This is your brain on drugs.
Oh, but a heart problem.
No, you have a drinking problem.
Charlie Sheen.
It's too damn hot.
Yeah, I am on a drug. It's called Charlie Sheen. It's not available because if you try it once, you will die. Your face will melt off and your children will weep over your exploded body.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Say, that meth sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, boy.
Let's dive into the right-wing world where they're just as crazy, and yet they maintain their television shows. All right. Charles Krauthammer on the Britburr.
What he does is he takes these shots from the side against
Obama.
A straw man. Mm. He says, you know, I'm against the denigration of unions. Nobody is. The only denigration I've seen is of the governor. Compared to Stalin and to Hitler and a lot of those signs and taking a lot of abuse. So he likes to go after a straw man without actually saying, in this, I'm on the side of the unions.
Yes, he did.
I think that's a losing proposition.
Mm.
Otherwise, why isn't he out there supporting them openly? I think he knows where public opinion is.
Yeah, the public opinion is the same side as he is, on the side of the workers.
Right.
What the heck? Oh, I see. Scott Walker is really the victim in all this. I see.
The reason he was speaking so slowly was because he was having trouble lying so obviously. Like, am I really saying this? Like, it's like he's reading a talking point that he's like, but I can't. This makes no sense.
Complete BS.
Right.
It's like Huckabee
going, no one's going to hear this, right? That I'm saying the president corrupt in Kenya.
Right. It's on the radio.
People on the radio. This evidence exhibit A, Charlie Sheen exhibit B, all the people that get in trouble from coming on my show.
Sure.
There's something about being on the radio that makes you say intemperate things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is.
It's called Hump Days with Al.
Yeah. Rush Limbaugh.
Missing Wisconsin senators rely heavily on union campaign dollars.
Really?
In order to stay away.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what I was talking about. When I said these public sector unions are just money launderers, simply kick back money from the taxpayers to these Democrat politicians, in this case to replace their salaries that they're not getting, so that they can stay away.
Oh, well, you know what? We're going to talk to one next, and we'll ask her how much money the union is paying her to stay away.
Mm-hmm.
See if that has any basis in reality. You know, Chris, I don't know if they could possibly be getting as much money as I get from George Soros every day. Why I trip across a giant bag of cash, I have to call him, George, you blocked my garage again, for God's sakes.
A check for $70,000.
He's there with a top hat and a monocle and a bag of cash.
Stats, keep it.
Okay, Steve Ducey on Fox and Friends.
Are the far-left protesters in Wisconsin giving all union members, like police officers and firefighters, a bad name? Are all union members and their concerns created the same? Well, that's the question we wanted to answer right here this morning on Fox and Friends.
The protesters are firefighters and policemen, FYI.
Yeah, and they're going to answer that question on Fox and Friends. A question they made up. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start with a premise, a false premise that I manufacture myself, and then I'm going to give you the result of that premise. Yeah, that's... That's journalism right there.
Yeah.
Why do they even have reporters in the field when, A, their lives are in danger, apparently, because they're getting head bumped by signs that they're shoving their cranium in the way of?
All right, here now is the deeply unpleasant Steve Malzberg, who I've had the opportunity to debate and also tried to date me.
Ew.
Ew.
I guess I shouldn't have said that part.
What?
Ew.
That was before the big announcement. Okay.
Don't you think we deserve to know more about this man?
I would love to know more, but what I know is troubling enough. And one thing that I do know is his having grown up in Kenya, his view of the Brits, for example, very different than the average American. When he gave the bust back to
Winston Churchill,
a great insult to the British. Mm. But then if you think about it, his perspective as growing up in Kenya with a Kenyan father and grandfather, their view of the Mau Mau revolution in Kenya is very different than ours, because he probably grew up hearing that the British were a bunch of imperialists who persecuted his grandfather.
Number one.
The founding fathers thought the British were a bunch of imperialists, too.
Yeah, exactly.
And furthermore... okay.
And he spent some time in Indonesia.
He failed to mention, by the way, that the bust was on loan from Tony Blair, who gave it to George Bush after 9/11.
Yes. Right.
And he replaced it with one of his American heroes, President Abraham Lincoln, which is his, that's his choice. He's the president now.
You might want this back.
Also, moron, he visited Kenya once for a month in his 20s.
Right.
Moron. 58 minutes after the hour.
But it's Joan Huckabee!
One of the missing Wisconsin state senators. Next, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Imagine walking on the surface of the sun would feel good.
No. Hot. I know you probably wonder, what do y'all do in that serious political issue show during the commercial breaks when Hal Sparks is there? Well, pretty much this. This is what we do during the break.
It's peanut butter jelly time! Peanut butter jelly time! Peanut butter jelly time!
Why?
Chris's oatmeal making music.
Oh, yes, because 8 o'clock Pacific time is when Chris makes his oatmeal every day.
Yes.
Because he's a little tiny bit anal. Anyway.
Wait a minute. Because
so that's when we do. It's because oatmeal that is time. The peanut butter.
Because that is the only time I can leave the studio to go actually do something.
Mom and Daddy, don't fight. Don't fight, Mom.
Well, she's trying to make me into this, like,
oatmeal making machine.
This anal retentive bastard, and I'm really not.
You know what you need? You need a little peanut butter jelly time. All right, kids, we have some serious business to get to, for God's sakes. They have, by the way, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Mm-hmm. We have Democratic State Senator Kathleen Vinehout, who we've had on before. There she is, hiding out with Martha and the Vandellas. Good morning, State Senator.
Good morning, Stephanie. I'm glad you guys are eating healthy, because Lord knows we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So now, we were in the midst of right-wing world when somebody, apparently, who is it, Chris, that said, Rush Limbaugh says you are being highly paid by the unions to stay away. Are you sitting on a big bag of union cash right now?
No. Tell my husband that, who just took out a loan to cover our bills for March.
Wow. So what's talk about what the latest is? Oh, by the way, this is one of your Republican colleagues, Wisconsin State Senator Michelle somebody.
All we need to do is have one senator come back to Wisconsin so our Senate can pass the budget repair bill and no one will lose their job.
Is anybody going to crack? Senator Vinehout?
That's a really good question. and there's a lot of debate going on among the senators, and sometimes I think I'm negotiating more with my Democratic colleagues than we are with the Republicans. It is really tough, and a lot of unlikely people have been thrown together in a way that we've never been together before.
Yeah.
But I think the story of today is really about what happened yesterday with the budget. And all along we've been saying we need the second shoe to drop. This is a ploy, this whole attack on collective bargaining our governor has sold as a way for him to finance what we all expected, which is an assault on education from kindergarten through the university system, an assault on health care, and adding all kinds of state dollars to new privatized corporations without any transparency. And, of course, then there's the 100% exclusion on capital gains. So, you know, we expected the right wing to push its agenda through our budget process, and yesterday we started to see some of those details.
Well, you know, I don't know if you saw, Paul Krugman has a piece today about the nonsense of comparing government workers to private sector counterparts by claiming the government pays for more of their benefits. I mean, there's just so much, you know, fear-mongering and dividing going on here, right, that the governor's trying to do. He says a new report by the Times gets the same answer as other studies. Low-paid government workers do a bit better than their private sector counterparts. Others, if anything, do worse. In terms of the political debate, it's a body blow to the union bashers whose whole position is that public sector workers are welfare queens and Cadillacs. They need to show outrageous overpayment, not rough equivalents. The whole idea that union excesses are at the core of these fiscal problems is false. I mean, isn't that the whole debate?
The facts mean nothing in this, Stephanie. This is all about right-wing propaganda and whether they can convince people that their story is more real than the facts. We've argued this for months, that all of the studies show when you control for education, public workers in Wisconsin are underpaid. Why, if you look at the gross numbers, it's because we have a huge education system in higher education. We have one of the best universities in the state and one of the best systems in the state. But if you take all those professors that, you know, I used to be a professor, Lord knows, we went to school for a long time. They're not, their average salary, at least in the university I represent, average, including the chancellor, is about $50,000. They're totally underpaid when you compare them to the private sector.
Yep. I don't know why. I'm picturing a right winger listening right now going, oh, professor, that equals hippie. sure. Now, Kathleen, how is this going to play out, though? I mean, you obviously must, when you look and see this protest as large as during the Vietnam War in Madison, when you know, see public opinion polling hugely on your side and on the worker side, I mean, what do you do? What's going to happen here? I mean, how long can you guys hold out? And I mean, the governor seems completely immune to what the people want.
Yeah, and every day that we hear more, and there was a sign on one of the statues in the Capitol that my staff member told me about that said Wisconsin is for sale. And really that's what's happening when you look at the budget over and over and over again. He's privatizing different parts of the budget, including public education. And what I'm thinking is that we have to help people understand that elections have consequences. All of your listeners know this, but they may not have convinced all of their friends. And it's really important, especially in swing states like Wisconsin, that all of the Democrats are energized.
Yep.
We've got Republican control of the Supreme Court. We've got a Supreme Court race in a month that could tip that. We've got recalls filed in just about every district there can be a recall. And a lot of these elections will be held before the final budget is voted on and before all the redistricting is done.
Kathleen, I've never heard a recall talk this soon in a governor's term, and I'm sure you've seen that polling, that the race were held today, he would lose by the same margin he won by. I mean, it's...
Absolutely, and I think this governor has to not be a one-term governor, but a one-year governor.
Uh-huh, yep. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to one of your colleagues, Lena Taylor.
It's not the only option. It's the option that the governor and the administration is choosing to do. They don't have to do that. He's using this just as a threatening mechanism.
Yeah, the layoffs. I mean, even this prank call, I think, Kathleen, has exposed him for the bully he is, for the liar that he is, frankly. I mean, he's not...
Well, and we're,
You were very close to a constitutional crisis in Wisconsin. The closing of the Capitol, when it says very clearly in the Constitution that the Capitol shall be open when there are public meetings. I mean, this guy has walked all over our rights, and not only as workers, but as citizens in this state.
Yep. Kathleen, you keep up the good fight, and thank you so much for, not that you have anything else to do, but thanks for taking the time for us and updating us. You really are, you are a hero. Tell the other 13 we say hi.
You bet. You
okay.
Bet. Thank you so much for paying attention to our story.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, how can you not? Thank you so much. All right, there she goes, the state senator.
That's right.
Kathleen Dienhaus.
And I just got an email from a protester that's been in the Wisconsin State Capitol building,
mm-hmm.
and they're saying that they're getting a little tired of pizza. They appreciate all of the pizza, but all they've been eating for the past 2 weeks is pizza. So
okay.
And there are some other restaurants
Chinese
around,
food,
the, around the state capitol that they would love to have some food from.
Terrific.
Sorry, that reminds me, my friend tried to give a homeless person bread on the street of New York once. And,
bread?
And the woman goes, no,
I'm
we're
on
not.
A low-carb diet. What?
Like the woman said, well, we're not taking bread today. Sorry. Thanks. All right. Let's finish up the right-wing world, shall we? Oh, heavens. You got to have a little Glenn Beck, don't you, in your right-wing
Why
world?
Why wouldn't you?
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I've shown you how these socialist protests are happening over the weekend. And they are framing the message around reclaiming the American dream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But their message centers around money. And that they are losing freedoms because of money. He's got too much.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have enough. So-and-so should get taxed more. Well, maybe I missed it, but I haven't read anything from the founders where they talk about money being equal to freedom like these guys do. I don't recall anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So as long as the Koch brothers get their money, I guess that's the important thing.
Right.
Here. Yeah. Okay, Bill O'Reilly to finish up. Here we go.
If the states do not have the power to control union costs, how will they ever balance their budgets? Many liberal Americans don't see it as a problem. They continue to demand tax hikes for corporations and the affluent. Talking Points believes that most Americans are sympathetic to working men and women. I know I am. But the cold truth is that the USA is going bankrupt, and union benefits and power in both the private and public sectors must be somewhat diminished. For the good of everyone.
Oh, sure. For the good of everyone.
$40,000 a year.
For the good of everyone in the Republican Party is what you should finish your thought with.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
There must be some people watching Fox News who finally realize that,
wait a minute.
I'm one of the people that he's calling a commie freeloader.
Freeloader.
Right. Hey.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, by the way, the Madison mayor.
It really comes down to what has worked. And again, for four decades, collective bargaining has worked. When we've got problems, we sit down with our unions, we argue, we negotiate, but at the end of the day, we work it out, and we do it without strikes.
Yeah,
It out is commie and gay in French.
Exactly. Jim, did you hear earlier we were saying that Walker keeps trying to say, oh, this is not, I'm not really getting rid of collective bargaining, I'm just narrowing it a little bit. It remains intact. And what he's talking about, it's a negotiation where the outcome's already been set, so you're not actually...
Right.
You make your own analogy, but I was saying it's like saying I'm going to wrestle you, but I'm going to handcuff you, your egg, hog-tie you, and then put a bag on you. And now, let's see who wins.
Sedate you.
Exactly.
By the way. Yeah. I'm going to sedate you before a boxing match just so that I can. We're
just
still going to have the bat.
Field.
Don't worry. Someone will still be ringing the bell. We'll still go to our corner every 3 minutes. It'll look a lot like a fight in the mechanics, except for the part where I'm punching the crap out of you because you have no recourse to hit back.
Exactly.
Plus, I'll be armed. And you
won't
be.
Right.
Yes. Governor Wanker.
The facts are clear. Wisconsin is broke, and it's time to start paying our bills today so our kids are not stuck with even bigger bills tomorrow.
Thinking
the kids.
Of
the, why is everyone thinking of the
someone
children?
Think of the Koch children?
Oh, somebody please think of the children!
Oh, I have another analogy. It's that fight in Indiana Jones where the guy has what kind of weapons, and then Harrison Ford shoots him.
No, he's had a sword.
Exactly.
And they
it's a not a fair fight analogy. Thanks.
Good work.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you. Okay. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Rock on, ooh, my soul. See a shake on movie screen.
Stephanie Miller.
Rock on.
Rock on. Really?
Yeah.
Is this the Michael Damian version?
Please, Charlie Sheen.
No,
you
original.
Can enjoy the rock star lifestyle without the drugs.
Yeah.
Paul Sparks, Exhibit A.
Yeah, exactly. You can have all the... I don't get it. I literally don't. Fill your rich house full of, you know, scantily clad women. You know, tool around, go to shows, do all that stuff. Just lay off the drugs. Yeah. Drop that part of it. You know,
all right.
The opposite of the... Of
this after-school special brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that there. Try it. Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Chris in Yankton says, Steph, it is open season on fat jokes now since Rush Limbaugh and others have made fat jokes about the First Lady. So in this case, Chris Christie, Joan Rivers would have had a field day with him back in the day. Christie's tailor buys fabric by the acre. Yes! Christie's mom bought pants in the Hindenburg section of pennies. Okay. Christie, the only governor visible from space. Oh, yes! Job at the gov. Is this thing on? Tap, tap. Thank you, Chris.
Blood type is Rocky Road. His belt size is equator. After sex, his wife rolls over twice, and she's still on him.
I'm not saying he's fat, but fill in the blank.
To quote Larry Reed,
I hear
I don't know how
Christy
big
gun.
Your bones are, but your butt is humongous.
Humongous.
I hear Governor Christie got hit by a car on the Jersey Turnpike. I didn't have enough gas to get around him. All right.
I want to tell you.
It's only because, by the way, yeah, they come only because he makes fun of the... of the First Lady for trying to tackle childhood obesity,
yes,
which is an epidemic
exactly.
in this country that will, by the way, you want to be fiscally conservative, raises our health care costs down the road. If you're explaining health care costs to a country, 20 years from now, you're going to be paying for the behavior that
Thank
these
you.
Kids have then. So.
All right. When my drunk stack meets my future husband stack, I love this story. And plus, Jim, I thought it was about little people, so that's the it's like my favorite things. But apparently it's just a place called Little Village. A Little Village motorist.
Oh.
I don't know if it's actually a village of little people or it's just somewhere
right.
called.
Look, you can't just... If you're trying to toss a ring into a volcano, you can't walk all the time. Sometimes you have to drive.
I wonder if they play only minivans on their car stereo.
Oh, right. Minikiss.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The story is a little village motorist was so drunk from celebrating his divorce, police said they were able to stop his slowly driven car by hand.
Oh.
Stop the car going 5 miles per hour. An Oldsmobile Olero. Ooh, chick magnet.
Mm.
Pounded on the window and awoke him. He was asleep and driving 5 miles an hour.
Ah.
He allegedly told officers he drank 10 to 12 beers because he was celebrating his divorce. We don't call that a police chase here in L.A. You can stop it by hand?
Right.
What
apparently
fun is that?
His wife had grounds.
Ah!
I'm going to go with the kind of guy who would... she's...
All right, speaking of pranks...
Not that much hope for alimony, though.
In Pennsylvania, a pizzeria owner with mice problems he blamed on competitors tried to sabotage two rival shops by dumping mice in them.
Right.
The old mice in the pizza shop routine.
Mm-hmm. He went to the bathroom and stuffed them into the ceiling.
The police said this is food terrorism by mice. Mice as a weapon is what the police are saying. Never been done before.
It actually has been
done
before.
It's a Pat Benatar song,
wasn't it? Yes. Stop using mice as a weapon.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hell is for mice.
Hell is for
mices.
Yes, they used to throw baskets of...
I hate mices to pieces.
I hate mices to pieces.
Jinxie.
Yeah, right.
All right, here comes... did I say earlier today that Justin Bieber, what do you call it, Hal Sparks is the Justin Bieber for middle-aged... political geeks, and Jan is one of them in Chicago. Hi, Jan.
Oh, hi, Steph. Thanks for calling me middle-aged.
Oh.
Yes.
She exaggerates her own age all the time. Just understand its perspective. It all bottlenecks through her own self-loathing.
Oh, no. I'm happy to be middle-aged. I call myself the old gal who loves Hal, okay?
Yes.
Because I've spoken to you before, Hal. You know, I was promoting the idea of Hal for press secretary, but
right.
That didn't go through, but
no.
I today just wanted to say why I love Hal so much, because, Stephanie, you know, thanks for having him on every week, because he's so intelligent, he's insightful, he's so knowledgeable,
and he's hot.
Articulate. See, he's so articulate.
And Jan, to him. He took his shirt off today in the studio.
Oh, wow, because you know what, yesterday, I'm so glad you mentioned he was on CNN, I was listening to you guys. And
then you dumped me for him, just like a traitorous whore, didn't you, Jan?
I bolted to the living room.
Of course you did. Whore, look at you.
Get out of my way, I gotta see
now. Look at you, slut. That's it. Has so much for loyalty, my best friend.
Slut! Jan. She's a slut!
Oh, he is a yummy little piece of man meat, Jan. 29 minutes to the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's stressful. No wonder you're always drunk.
It's stressful being me. You'd be stressed out, too, if you made as many bad decisions. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Oh, by the way, you had mentioned breaking news this morning. Ugh. The Reverend Fred Phelps, they won their Supreme Court case.
Right.
God hates a... You know,
yes.
F-word for gayman.com. Okay, Kansas church that attracted nationwide attention for its angry anti-gay protests at the funerals of U.S. military members has won its appeal at the Supreme Court, testing the competing constitutional rights of free speech and privacy, so they have the right to protest at military funerals and, yeah, whatever. Okay.
Now, why do they protest military funerals again? What's the reasoning
because
there?
Because America allows homosexuality.
Oh, okay.
So the soldiers are fighting for the rights of sodomites, and therefore...
So these two soldiers who got shot in Frankfurt had it coming because they collateral gayness from being in the army.
Mentioned our other favorite story. This is, and apparently this is his real name, Reverend Grant Storms.
Oh, yeah. Grant Storms.
Not a porn name.
I bet he does.
He's one of the anti-gay preachers. He's Bullhorn Guy. He's the one that he protests the, what is it, the gay festival in New Orleans?
Southern Decadence
Festival with the bullhorn. And so he was caught masturbating in his van while looking at kids.
Freaks, get down off those floats. You're blocking my view of the playground. How am I supposed to sit here in a parked car with my pants around my ankles with all these giant floral parade floats floating by? I don't want to see adult nakedness. That's disgusting. I want to see young people on slides with their parents on around, swinging back and forth, their little dresses drifting in the wind, their little socks.
It led to a court ruling where they banned amplification devices. and I love this. The story said the Reverend could not be reached for comment, and I'm like, why didn't someone just stand outside with a bullhorn? Yeah.
What do you want to know? I'll be glad to tell you. I got to tell you. Here's the trick. Okay, tint your windows on the outside, not the inside. It'll limit your view. And I wear cop reflective sunglasses so that they can't see which way I'm looking. That's the trick I learned. I used to polish my shoes in elementary school.
Right. I gave Hal a toy for our skit.
I'm an elected representative of the great state of Louisiana.
Reverend Grant Storms. Okay, that's how can you not love that story? All right, Mike and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mike.
Good morning. I just want to thank the Fab 14 again, and our team for them is as long as it takes. But I really want to send out a kudos to our sheriff, who continues to protect and serve and publicly stated that he will not use police officers as guard palaces or palace guards. I mean, it just a real strong statement from a really good guy. And guys, hang in there, because we can't let this happen.
Yeah.
If we have to come down and visit you, bring you lunch, whatever, when this is over, we'll have a picnic that will be much better than the Koch brothers.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Justin in Orange County on the Madison protest as well. Hi, Justin.
Hey, Steph and Manus, how you doing?
Hi, go ahead.
Just want to give a quick shout out to the chat room as well. You know, this new Wanker budget, you know, it's pretty clear that he's been wanting to bust the union. That's obvious. But there's a second part to it. I believe he wants to actually get rid of public education. If you look at the cuts he's making, it's $900 billion over 20 years, and he's not allowing local school districts or county school districts to raise property taxes to make up for the shortfall. So he's cutting the legs out there as well. So they're not going to ever be able to make up for this money, even if the locals want to raise taxes to pay for the teachers. So this is just all about a power grab and destroying public education and turning everything over to the private sector in the hopes of some magical thing's going to happen.
Yep, absolutely. And we see you, Governor Wanker. We see what
it's
you're doing.
It's amazing that that their version of democracy is the elimination of options. That it's the fact that workers or cities or municipalities have the option of doing things themselves. When they're supposedly all these states' rights guys, these are the libertarians, people should be allowed to do what they want to do. Well, if we want to group together and so we can afford a better school, then why weren't you allowed to do that?
Exactly.
Because they want a dictatorship run by socially conservative psychopaths who bow to multinational corporations.
There. Thank you for that little mini rant. All right. Celebrity stack. Is the media sphere finally in danger of Charlie Sheen overload? Yeah, I'd say. Yes, perhaps. He's given, what is it, four? Actually, you can't keep track of how many. It's going to be like the numbers at McDonald's. He's given four major.
America's on a drug. It's called Charlie Sheen.
Four major TV interviews, right? ABC, NBC, TMZ, CNN. As producers and commentators continue to program ever more ranting Sheen footage, some media critics taking issue with the whole spectacle, Sheen has clearly suffered some sort of mental disturbance, they're calling it.
Who says this?
And they insist media critics and some seemingly for news professionals to keep using his outbursts for the 24/7 news cycles. We've been talking about this all morning. Media, I'd said, they're not just pointing at Charlie Sheen's self-immolation. They're throwing gasoline on it, and with Sheen's distress, as obvious as it is, making accomplices of the audience.
Right.
It is an interesting... One analyst said the coverage has become obsessive, even dangerous. It's time for all the tabloid media to stop returning Charlie's texts and calls. He took direct aim at Piers Morgan because he said the star dismissed doctor's mentions of bipolar disease, and then Morgan stepped up to give him a clean bill of mental health, telling Sheen he's alarmingly normal. I think in the field they call that enabling. Morgan's producer said if we rolled out people who are mentally unstable or somewhat psychologically challenged, there would be a lot fewer people on the air and in newspapers.
Yeah.
Which
well,
is true,
Fox
too.
Would be a ghost town.
But he made another good point. He said people confuse an interview with an intervention.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so it's an... anyway, then he went on Howard Stern's radio show. He says he's going to call again. I kind of feel like that too. That it's just someone's got to get him some help and stop.
Yeah,
it's just.
Well, by the way, people will get tired of it, and like I said, he will continue right on doing what he's doing, and this cycle will move past him. He'll become less interested because of the short attention span.
I think I think Bobcat Goldthwait in the one. lucid moment he had. Didn't he say that about Anna Nicole Smith? He said someone put down the camera and help her.
Right, yeah.
Yes. That was someone.
Can you leave her alone for just 1 minute? Take her back home. I don't need to see this. Even my penis is afraid at this point.
I did that because it was a good point. Yeah. And Hal doesn't. Excellent.
Okay, thank you very much.
Which will lead to somebody in the chat room asking for Ruth Gordon, to which you will have to then...
The Ruth problem, Gordon having sex with Bobcat.
With Bobcat Goldthwait.
With Prince playing in the background. Go!
Stop it! Put on some pants! Let him wear whatever he wants to. You gotta live. Get yourself a nice look and watching people go humpity-bumpity. And when you're ready... I'll be in the office. Roll me in the clover. Roll me in the clover.
Okay. All right.
She's hot.
You know what? It's our drug. We're on a drug called Hal Sparks doing Ruth Gordon.
I'm on a drug called Ruth Gordon.
Yeah. Charlie Sheen is the most rock and roll character in entertainment today, according to Slash, I guess. Slash says yes.
What?
That he loves the 2.5 Men star who is his neighbor. Oh, someone...
Wow.
Lives next to a boy.
You're gonna
see,
come over and borrow
my boyfriend
a cup of
problems
blow.
Are nothing compared to this.
You know, it's when Slash or Charlie Sheen shows up at your door with a mixing cup and is asking, "Is that sugar?" They don't want sugar.
I thought no one could live in a louder neighborhood than I do. But, oh boy. Okay. Oh, and Christina Aguilera. She was. Did you hear that? She was. She was released. She will not be prosecuted for public intoxication. What is this? Oh, syllabitchy.com. Writing, the sheriff's department is saying they're probably not going to pursue the public intoxication charge, that it was just a placeholder until Drunky McClownface sobered up. Apparently she was very, very inebriated.
Yeah, but was she driving?
No.
No, which I... Who knew?
Well, you think, where was she at the time?
Parked on a side street in West Hollywood.
Yes.
Yes.
But she will be prosecuted for her rendition of the national anthem. That's...
Right.
Yeah, you can't.
That's the reason why...
Screaming.
What? Right. And the sprockets and flares.
Maybe she was drunk. Maybe that was the problem there. Maybe she was drunk.
In hair.
Gave Ruth... He did not!
A bad fright.
All right, who wants all the good post-Oscar gossip? Apparently, a source tells Us Weekly that Anne Hathaway and James Franco grew to hate each other as they rehearsed for the Oscars.
Really?
Producers were pissed. I don't
know. Who hated who? Why?
Because she had to bring all the energy, and he was kind of phoning it in and something.
Because he was
kind of looked like that.
Because he was on Charlie Sheen, apparently. Yeah.
No, he was not on Charlie Sheen. He was on the exact opposite of what Charlie Sheen does.
He looked like he hadn't slept in about a year.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was the thing. Everybody thought he was baked. I don't know that he was. I wouldn't be surprised. It's a little nerve-wracking.
Hey, welcome to the Emmys.
Yeah,
man,
right, great. So great.
What?
And the Grammy goes to...
Oh.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Best actor, Pearl Jam.
Okay, the most awkward exes running into each other at the Oscars, at the Vanity Fair Oscar party, Taylor Swift and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal. Mm-hmm.
Bumped into each other. It didn't look like they were engaging in idle party chatter.
Oh.
Yeah. Awkward. A source said that they were outside near the restroom having a discussion. It seemed a bit more serious. It certainly wasn't a hi, how are you talk. It seemed like they were catching up, says the source, sorting something out.
Mm-hmm.
Awkward. Something like, I hate you and your ass face. You bastard.
It might have just been, I'm just saying, I called you, I was trying to tell you, Prince of Persia was a mistake.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
Awkward ex encounters. All right. Oh, and I hadn't even heard about this at the same at the Vanity Fair Oscar party. Joan Collins. I just love this story.
Joan Collins still goes to Oscar parties?
This is on D-listed. Wow. She was led into an ambulance about 10 p.m. after she started to feel woozy. She said, the truth is I made the wrong decision to wear a very tight dress. Her dress was too tight.
Oh.
And she swooned.
Well, that's what they're for. You know, corsets were originally corsets and high heels were designed by men as booby traps to keep women from escaping their unwanted advances. This is the whole point. Like, she can't breathe, so she can't run for very long. And if she tries to run too fast, her ankles will go. That's the whole point.
I gotta say, it's
a booby trap.
I love the delisted on this. Nobody ever said being glamorous is easy, and Joan knows this. Who cares if Joan's dress was so tight that her wig almost popped off?
Oh.
You crack a rib on the spot, you hold your breath like a Simpson just farted, spanks it up like Mimi, and glue that wig to your head. You make the glamour happen because there's no other option. While unoriginal, whack-ass starlets are stumbling out of parties because they're too drunk, Joan is getting carried out by EMTs.
Mm-hmm.
Joan is redefining the dramatic stage left exit once again. That's a real star for you. Thank you, Joan
Collins. You go Elizabeth Taylor and have someone roll you in a wheelchair when you don't even know you're there. I was introduced to Elizabeth Taylor at Elton John's party.
She's like, am I in my living room?
Yeah,
where am I?
Yeah, and they brought her out, put her on a couch. She was meeting and she had, and poor sweetheart, she had no idea where she was. Leave her at home.
Boy.
Tell her she's at the Oscars. You know, like the brain in the jar in Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. You know.
Just green screen some footage in like Fox News.
Yeah, right,
sake.
Exactly. Just,
oh,
palm trees. This is lovely. So nice to be back in Florida. Well, I mean, don't bring
her. Louise Sparks.
Don't bring her. She's not good to help.
Okay.
She's a mess.
All right. Finally, Katie Holmes is reportedly set to sue Star Magazine for a cover story they ran on her last month.
No, 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 no.
No, what about
magazine? Oppressive and glitch.
Suppressive. Whatever.
And it wasn't even one of those stories with any implications about it.
Oh, never mind.
Tom.
What?
It was the addiction nightmare.
What
Katie Drug Shocker. It claimed that, all it claimed was that she was addicted to Scientology's E-meter, That thing.
That thing is so fun. Yeah, I'm on like level 8 right now, and I just can't beat the big boss.
It's even more addictive than Charlie Sheen.
Yeah. It's like Simon. That's basically how you get it. You're like, neat, noot, neat, 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 noot, neat, 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 noot, neat, noot, neat, noot. Damn it. Neat, noot, neat, 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 noot, neat, noot, neat,
noot. It's more addictive than Angry Birds.
Totally. Basically, it is the spiritual version of Angry Birds. I'm starting an Angry Birds cult. That's it.
47.
Angry Birds flu.
Totally.
Oh, whatchamacallit's into volcanoes.
Exactly. Angry Birds, Chuck. We'll go on.
We'll be right back with more Non Sequitur Theater.
950 people in the chat, by the way.
It's
awesome.
Non Sequitur Theater on Hump Days with Hal. Right back.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It had to be said.
Sorry, yeah.
52 minutes after the hour. Oh, no. I was addicted to Charlie Sheen, and now I'm addicted to Angry Birds. That is the most ridiculous game ever.
Yeah. I can't believe you haven't heard about it until now.
So what do? You shoot birds at
pigs? The pigs have stolen your eggs,
yes.
So the birds are angry. So you put your birds in a slingshot, and you fling them at the fortresses that the pigs are hiding in and break them. And it uses actual physics as the basis for like the weight of the birds and how far they travel in the slingshot. Don't blink at me.
Boy games are stupid. Okay, thank you.
It's not a boy game.
Thank you,
Lots of people of all genders and without gender enjoying.
Turn that off.
I'm sorry.
I'm like Sister Mary Oliphant on Wednesdays.
You are. Class.
Right. You know what? Actually, what I really am, I'm just Liz Taylor. They roll me in here. I have no idea where I am.
Right,
I don't know what references you kids are talking about. I don't know what the Angry Birds are.
She's become Admiral Stockdale.
People in the Ustream chat love Angry Birds. So there.
All right, fine. Well, fine.
We're almost
1,000
people in there right now. Because, yeah, thank you very much.
Oh, and good morning, class. Good morning, class. Thank you.
Okay. Got that out of our system.
That's how I feel sometimes on the receiving end.
All right. Let's see here. Chuck Norris.
What?
I just like saying that because you remember that was my favorite campaign ad. But vote for my cockabee or I'll kick you in the head.
Kick you in the head. With my acne jeans.
Yeah, they have a diamond of extra fabric so that I can do the splits, even though I don't.
He says, he insists, I love teachers, but he also compared teachers' unions to the mafia and gangsters in his latest little right-wing scrabblings on whatever crazy right-wing rag he writes for.
Huh?
When teachers' unions muscle legislators like the mafia, blah, blah, what also chaps my hide? He says things like chaps his hide in his action jeans. Is the giant chunk of the union's gangster money is used? Whatever. All right.
Whatever.
I don't understand. Oh, Boner! Did you see that? The Boner said public employee unions have a machine gun pointed at the heads of local officials.
Huh. Violent imagery. That's so rare for
Yeah. He said in some of these states you've got collective bargaining laws that are so weighted in favor of the public employees, there's almost no bargaining. We've given them a machine gun and put it right at the heads of local officials and really have their hands tied. Yeah. He's, by the way, just FYI, sorely mistaken about the role of public employee unions in the state budget crisis. In 80% of the states that do not have collective bargaining rights for public employees, the budget crises are far worse than Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just FYI, public employees have already agreed to reduce their salaries.
Yeah.
It's really not about that.
That's the whole point. The reason why it's such a breaking point is because they've taken so many concessions for so long.
Thank you.
That the absurdity.
Yes, I keep pointing out we're
like
breaking
our holy machine gun in our head.
We're welching on the deal that we made with them, and they're still saying okay. And it's
here, John Boehner. You can take solace in one fact that at an average of $17,000 a year for a teacher in Wisconsin, they probably can't afford a lot of ammo. How about that?
$17,000 a year.
Couple of breaking stories.
Let's see Boehner live on that.
Yeah. Well-known car thief. Insurance defrauder, steroid user, Representative Daryl Issa.
Yeah.
some of that's alleged, some's not, has said Wednesday he fired his deputy communications director after learning he had shared email correspondence from other reporters with the New York Times journalist. Sounds like he might want to start with the ethics investigations in his office.
What do you know?
Yeah.
Before he gets to the Obama. Mm-hmm. All right, truthwinsout.com, I love this one. Sarah Palin denounces DOMA decision, facts, grammar, wrong as usual. Truth, let's see, word salad and factual problems. It's another day in Sarah Palin's life. She was talking to the National, NOM, National Organization for Marriage. About the Obama administration's decision to no longer defend Section 3 of DOMA. She's, I don't know, who does, someone else want to read this? Jim, do you want to read? This is your usual, read your Sarah Palin word salad there. Yeah.
Yeah.
These were her thoughts on that. Mm-hmm. There it is.
I have always believed that marriage is between one man and one woman. Like the majority of Americans, I support the Defense of Marriage Act and find it appalling that the Obama administration decided not to defend this federal law, which is enacted with broad bipartisan support and signed into law by a Democrat president. It's appalling, but not surprising that the president has flip-flopped on yet another issue from his stated position as a candidate to a seemingly opposite position once he was elected.
Wait a minute. That's... Someone else wrote that for her. That's too cogent.
Yes, and first of all, she's completely wrong, wrong,
right.
wrong. The yeah. president repeatedly
yes,
said
he... his opposition to DOMA on the campaign trail right. repeatedly.
Yes.
She probably knows this, but we've got to understand that Palin is not too concerned with the right. word reality unless it's directly followed by the word show.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Truth Wins Out. Oh, by the way, for once, John Boehner said something that makes less sense than Sarah Palin said. Oh.
If ands and buts were candy and nuts, every day be Christmas.
What?
In a tavern!
And first of all, it's if ands or buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah. If ands and buts were wishes,
and then I... Are there beer nuts?
I'm pushing
a can of beer nuts.
Remember he said so be it about all the jobs that would
yeah,
be lost?
Right.
Governor Daniels doubled down on that. He said governments should slash spending even if they end up seriously costing a lot of jobs.
Yes, yep. and lives. What
yep.
the hell?
Yeah.
Go for broke.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This isn't important.
That's it for Hump Days
yeah.
at Hal. Tomorrow, Carl Frisch, David Bender, and Dan Abrams.
And I'm in Kentucky this weekend for all of our podcast friends.
Rock star from Mars. Can you believe that show tomorrow?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. All right. Thank you, Hal. I love you.
Bye.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.